In a recent online post, Ken, you warned that we should all get ready for, quote, the great metro sell-off of 2013. Don't you think that's a bit overstating it?
No, I don't. When you have papers like the Chicago Tribune, the LA Times, the Boston Globe, the Baltimore Sun, Hartford Current, and more, likely hitting the market the same year, it is a first-time phenomenon in American journalism.
What do you ascribe this coincidence of events happening this year?
Well, the main one is that the Tribune Company has finally come out of bankruptcy just at the first of the year, and it has eight newspapers, six of which are large metros, including the Chicago, L.A., and Baltimore ones. So that's the big driver here. But obviously the Globe, both with its history and its size and place in New England and American society, adds to that. And we have had others in just the last two or three years in Seattle, Denver, Tampa. So this is the kind of newspaper, the metro newspaper, which is so dominant in the U.S., not the same in Europe, but in the U.S., that's had the hardest time with the Internet disruption. And it is worth, any metro paper is worth about one-tenth of what it was 10, 15 years ago. And we're seeing that continued devaluation of these papers as properties, even though they remain vitally important to the readers in their cities.
Now, what kind of buyer, from your point of view, do you think is going to likely pony up $100 to $150 million for a media property like the Globe? I know many of our local pundits are very enamored of the idea, and some very passionately, that it should be a local owner. But do you think that's likely?
I think it's probably most likely. I think, and especially in the case of Boston, the idea of an individual or a small group of moneyed individuals coming forward is probably the most likely. There are not the conditions into which other newspaper companies or chains are buying, especially not metro papers. Warren Buffett is out there with his new Berkshire Hathaway Media buying newspapers, but just community-sized papers, not metros. He could be interested in the Worcester paper, for instance, but probably not the Globe. So it's unlikely that we're going to see a chain buy it. It could be local people. I expect that Aaron Kushner, who is a Bostonian who bid on the Globe 3-4 years ago but was rebuffed by the New York Times, will come forward again. He has bought the Orange County Register paper, and he's making some new journalism history there. They've essentially increased the staff 30% or so in the newsroom, and he is investing in content. So I'd look at Aaron Kushner, and I'd look at other prominent Bostonians.
What do you think over the years the New York Times has done right and wrong in its management of the Globe?
Well, I think the main thing that it has done right, and especially in comparison to other newspapers and metro newspapers around the country, is that it has kept a stronger core of editorial excellence and really editorial volume. So there are 365 people in the newsroom at the Globe today. That's down from its height. I'm not sure exactly what the height was. I would imagine more than 500. But there are many metro dailies that have lost more than a half and even two-thirds of their newsrooms. The Mercury News in San Jose, which used to be considered one of the top 10 papers in the country, went from 425 to 110 as just one other example. So there are lots of examples of papers that have been pared farther down. So the level of journalism that people in Boston and New England are getting is much higher. I think in terms of the missed opportunities, there are probably more missed opportunities of the kinds of strategic partnerships that the Times and the Globe could have done editorially and perhaps on the business side in terms of advertising as the digital revolution has happened. The Times has become a global brand, a digital brand. The Globe is now doing better on its own as a digital brand and is a leading innovator, but there are probably missed opportunities for partnership over the years.
Well, given the flow of revenue away from the hard copy print newspaper to digital services, especially the classified advertising, how can any owner, in your opinion, make it work without a sound digital strategic financial plan in place?
Absolutely. They have to have that plan. And in fact, the optimism and the reason why, one of the reasons we're seeing more buying and selling of newspapers, even though the prices are still low, very akin to the housing market. More buyers now are always sellers, but the prices are still low. But the optimism is coming because of plans like the Globe's, where it had put in a paywall, meaning that you have to pay to get digital access to the Globe, and it has greatly increased the price of the Globe if you get it by home delivery subscription, as much as 60%. So this is fueling a new wave of revenue in the industry from readers, and in fact, papers like the Times and the Globe are now getting as much or more revenue from readers as advertisers. That's part of that digital revolution as well. We all have iPhones, iPads, increasingly, and cheaper devices to access the news. And if you say all access, one price, people are paying. So on the circulation end, it's very positive. On the digital advertising end, it's not. Papers are still losing as much as 10% of their revenue. So it's split right now, and there is a better digital strategy than there was a few years ago. But it's not one where you can say, ah, that's a winning strategy, and 2016, everything's going to be great.
Well, one final question. Since you are so attuned to the media landscape, the newspaper landscape throughout the United States, is there any newspaper, daily newspaper, anywhere across the country that actually has a winning formula?
Well, it would, of course, depend on how we define winning formula. I define it as refining growth. So for any healthy business, it needs to grow. We have papers I've written about recently, the Charleston Post and Courier, kind of a mid-sized paper in South Carolina. And it now has a 10% more reader revenue because of its paywall strategy, and it's only lost about 4% of its advertising revenue. It is growing. So if you look at that kind of paper, that kind of leading edge, and it is easier in a middle-sized metro area compared to a larger one. But if you look at that strategy, or the New York Times on a global level, it lost 1% less revenue in advertising than it made in circulation. So it had a minor growth of only 0.3% as a whole company last year, 2012. But that was its first growth since 2006. So we see this glimmer of hope. And we see that these papers are finding some stability. I talk about it as getting back to zero. But it is really that growth. And we are seeing papers here and there get to that point and getting to a little bit of growth.
We'll have to leave it there. Media analyst Ken Doctor, thank you very much for joining us.
You're quite welcome.